podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Halfway home on a Tuesday. Been a very fun show this morning here on Ben and Woods. Could have gone the other direction last night. Certainly it was headed that way until our San Diego Padres bailed us out. They bailed us out. That's how I look at it. Every time they have a win like that, you saved our bacon, Padres. We thank you for that. It was such an exciting game to watch. And man, just a great, great win. One we'll hopefully be talking about for a long time. You know, you look at it and say, oh, this could be the thing that propels the, you know, you just don't know with baseball. It just doesn't really work that way. They've been playing so well, right now, handling business on this road trip. It's been incredible, incredible to watch. They just never are dead. They never seem out of it. Very excited to get that game going today. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer of the program. And Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor as well. He of the very devious mind.
Safe to say that that's the Padre way now.
Yeah,
under Mike Schilt, they never quit.
Yeah,
I mean, we saw it time and time again last year, and it's carried right on over to this year.
There's a very clear message from Schilty, very clear. And when they asked him the very first question last night, you know, he always makes it a point to talk about, well, it's not just tonight, it's every night. It's every night in this team, every night. They talked to several players after the game. They talked to Tatis. He spoke glowingly of his manager having his back. They talked to Manny. They talked to Xander. They talked to Arise. All of these guys. Now, you know what, man? It's like, it doesn't matter if I believe it or Ben believes it or Paul believes it or anybody listening believes it. All that matters in the universe is that those players in the locker room believe in their manager. That's it.
And he's not the first coach or manager in history who's had a message of don't give up to his team.
Right.
Believe, you know, we can do this. It's actually, you know, a fairly common message. But I think what resonates.
Jace Tingler, actually, I thought he said, hey, guys, just give up. quit.
I think what resonates, though, is that the players have seen the fruits of not giving up over and over again. And so they've bought in. 100%. A message is only as good as how much buy-in you get from
sure.
your players. And if you have, you know, players who just don't believe it, who roll their eyes because it's not delivered in the right way or they're not seeing the results from the message, everyone wants to see good results. You know, if they're going to put their time and effort into something, they want some payback from it. And the Padres have had good payback from Mike Schilt and his message this last season plus a month that he's been the skipper of the Padres.
Yeah, I just can't say enough good things about that eighth inning last night. Watching guys work walks, watching guys get on for the big boys behind them, watching, you know, the what Jesse just said. There's two words that I learned in baseball in it recently. This isn't something I learned when I was 10, 11, 12 when I first started playing the game. And I think they're the two most powerful words in baseball. You know what they are? So what? I hear it all the time. So what? Oh, that call didn't go your way? So what? Umpire blew one? So what? It's so powerful. And I think, you know, if you're a coach for little kids especially, I mean, there's grown-ass men that are employing this on a daily basis. We're seeing it here. I think those are truly in this awful, awful sport of ours that we love so much that is also the best. The two most important words. So what? High strike, first AB, so what? Got another chance. You're going to get another AB. There's going to be another game tomorrow. You're going to have another game next week. Whatever it is. So what? So what? You booted one? So what? Get the next one. It's a message I've used. It's words I use every single game, every single practice. So what? So what? And to see these big leaguers, Ben, living that every single day is pretty cool.
You're always just really one AB away from turning around even the worst of streaks.
No
I mean,
doubt.
Xander was in the torture chamber for most of the first month of the season. They don't win a bunch of these games this week without Xander on this road trip.
And his offense and his defense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a couple of really, really nice plays. Credit where credit is due. Driving in runs. Doing what we need him to do. Manny last night with a huge, huge knock off of Luke Weaver, who has given up three hits all year. Man, that got me so fired up. Then, you know, smart base running, smart send by Tim Leeper there. Cody Bellinger's a pretty good outfielder, but wet ball, wet track. Now, Manny's also running on a wet field, wet track as well. That throws 10 feet up the line. You know, if that throws on point, they may get him, but Great send. Smart send, in my opinion. You're on the road. Like, take that shot there. And just a couple of clutch knocks in a row, back-to-back by the captain and Xander Bogaerts. I was elated with that last night.
I want to bring up the guy who started the winning rally once again as well. It was Tyler Wade threw the walk.
Unbelievable.
And talk about a guy who could have thrown in the towel. They DFA'd him.
Yeah, they DFA'd him.
And he didn't sulk. He didn't pout.
You know what he said? What?
He easily could have elected free agency, but he said, you know what? I still feel like I've got chances in this organization.
Yep.
I'm just going to put my nose to the grindstone, wait for my opportunity at AAA, and when they call me up, I'm going to do what I have done with the Padres, and that is little things to contribute. Not going to ever be a star player in Major League Baseball, but he seems like he is going to be part of winning teams because he does things that help you win games, and he did it last year, and now he's doing it again this year for the Padres.
Was there any reason that Iglesias was not playing last night? Did he just need a
slumping,
day?
Slumping, I think.
Yeah,
I think
he maybe needed a day.
I think they felt like, because otherwise you could have had
Wade on the bench,
but
and Wade had another righty in there with Iglesias.
And when Merrill comes back, you know, I'm wondering what the lineup looks like.
Yeah.
Do you have Wade in there instead of Iglesias at second when you're in your regular lineup until Jake gets back against righties on the bump? That we may see Wade move into the infield, especially until, I mean, Jose Iglesias has been struggling. Even the hits that he's gotten, most of them have been numbers in front of the plate. And he, I think it was in an 0 for 11 stretch or something a little bit longer. So
yeah, just needed a day.
You know, yeah. I think I don't think there was any injury concern, but I think they just feel like Wade right now is a hotter, better option.
Literally hotter. Very handsome.
Handsome guy. He is.
Very handsome guy.
All right. Many of you have figured it out because, well, I'm the pun master. But our major guest tomorrow satisfies the definition both ways. He's going to be Major Garrett.
Yeah, buddy.
He's not only going to be a guest, he is coming in studio. Not only is he coming in studio, he is coming in studio for, I believe, the entire show, or as he put it, until we kick him out.
Until we get sick of him.
Until we get sick of him tomorrow.
All right, we'll see in like 3 weeks. I don't know.
It's going to take a long time for any of us to get
sick. Our new co-host.
Sick of Major Garrett. So CBS News Chief Washington correspondent, giant Padres fan on the East Coast, very intelligent, connected, savvy Padres fan, is going to be sitting in with us tomorrow as he is he's back home this week.
Do I need to come in?
I don't know that any of us do. I mean, Paul does to push the buttons.
You do.
And
all
then
right. You Major
can just
enjoy.
He would crush
it for I could do a lot worse.
Yeah, you could.
I think both of us are excited to come in.
I am.
And hang out with Major all morning tomorrow.
I could listen to him go for hours. I mean, he just, when he gets going on something, it's so great.
We've had him in studio before.
Yeah.
I'm excited to have him for more than a segment or two segments. You know what I mean? Like, let's just be a part of the show tomorrow and let's just have some fun.
He's a wise man.
Very wise.
And even when we get on topics that are probably not Padres related, I'd imagine he will have a wise comment or two to add here.
He's a very measured guy and a very intelligent guy. Hannah said he did a special over the weekend on Sunday morning, and I missed it. Need to go back and watch it. But, yeah, he's a brilliant, brilliant guy. There's no question. And his love for the Padres is really unmatched. He's like the older version of Ryan Cohen. I mean, he is when Ryan Cohen grows up. But, yeah, he's a great, great guest. And this came completely out of left field. I had no idea. Paulie just texted us randomly. I was actually on the toilet when you texted. He said, Major Garrett tomorrow in the studio. I'm like, what? For what?
I told you like 3 weeks ago he's going to be in town. He wanted to come in. And
I didn't know that.
I kind of remember that text, but I kind of forgotten about it as well. So I'm glad he's in. Right. Carlos, we can just tailor all of our segments around Take on Major, the Major Report, Major, Major Foreplay. Just get it all.
Sounds
Major Garrett related tomorrow.
Sounds good to me. Excited about
Major
that.
Wrap up.
Yeah. We'll be here at 6. Hopefully we have another win to talk about.
That would be nice.
Yep.
I'm with Michael King on the mound today. It felt like yesterday was the pivot game of the series. Not that the Padres can't win both of them going forward or that the Yankees can't win both of them going forward, but they got Max Fried waiting in the wings for the series finale tomorrow against Dylan Cease. But today is Michael King against Clark Schmidt. And the Yankees have been very good when Max Fried has started. I believe they're 7-0 when Max Fried starts and 12-16 now when anybody else starts a game for the New York Yankees this season. So they've kind of got that ace that ace in the hole. Padres have had some success against Max Fried, so again, I'm not saying they can't win that game, but Padres clearly have the advantage today with Michael King. Yankees have the advantage tomorrow. Yesterday was kind of the pivot game with Nick Pivetta on the mound against Carlos Rodon, who was really, really tough.
Really good, man.
But the Padres found a way to pull that game out in the end.
Were you surprised to see both of them come back out after that rain delay?
I was.
Right around like 70, 80 pitches each?
Yeah,
like,
I think it was
if it was another 15 minutes, it probably would have been a different story. But as Jesse mentioned, it's just a 28-minute delay. That's basically sitting down for like a long inning.
Yeah,
kind of in a normal game. There are innings that take 20, 25 minutes sometimes, so it's not completely out of the realm to ask them to come back after that. So I was hoping Rodon would be gone. I mean, definitely was hoping they would pull him out. But once Pivetta went back in, I figured Rodon was probably going back in as well.
Yeah, New York Post talked to Michael King and said, hey, Michael King said, I never once tried to get him out. It'll be a very, very hard challenge. And you know, there's going to be a little bit of extra juice for Michael King tonight. Like there was a little extra juice for Trent Grisham last night, hitting that bomb. And it was very poetic. I mean, you knew it was, we kind of talked about it on the show yesterday. Trent Grisham's off to a really, really good start for the Yankees. And, you know, when he touched up Pivetta, I went, oh God, it's going to be one of those games. And no, it was not one of those games at all. The San Diego Padres did not let that snowball and came back and found a way to win, but should be a fun matchup today with Kinger on the mound against Clark Schmidt.
All right. We have Take on Woods coming up next. If you'd like to be our contestant and try to be the first qualifier for our new grand prize, trip to the Park MGM, tickets to Bruno Mars and a $100 gift card. You can call in during our break here, 833-288-0973. Get our musical trivia challenge versus Woodsy. Coming up in our next segment after traffic, it's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
And to all the tier ones out there, if your monthly bills are keeping you awake at night, if you're worried about your finances, you're not alone, certainly. You might have racked up sizable amounts on your credit cards, the monthly payment that you make every month, not making a dent right now. It's time to call Loan Pronto. If you own a home, you've got a super easy way to get tens or even hundreds of thousands out in cash, going to save you money in the long run. Loan Pronto has lots of different options for helping you tap into the equity in your home. That's your equity. Use it. Get the cash you need to get back on solid footing right now. Zero that thing out. Start back at zero. It feels so good. Most homeowners should do this. End up wiping out their credit card debt, then cutting their monthly expenses by about $1,000. So you didn't mean to end up here. You don't have to keep stressing about money. Call Loan Pronto today for fast debt relief now, 619-207-4336 or loanpronto.com, 619-207-4336, or again, loanpronto.com. When you do go to loanpronto.com, they're going to walk you through the entire process. So equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
Mentioned earlier, Padres knock on wood, getting a little healthier. Jackson Merrill expected back today. Jake Cronenworth could be back by the end of the week. Yu Darvish is in Arizona now, continuing his rehab and getting ready to face live hitters, hopefully for a season debut at the end of May for the San Diego Padres. Other teams, though, Woods, not as fortunate. The Chicago Cubs yesterday placed Shota Imanaga on the 15-day injured list with a hamstring strain. And the Houston Astros placed Yordan Alvarez on the 10-day IL with hand inflammation. So, hey, you know, every team's going to have to weather the storm of injuries throughout the course of the season. The Padres, though, did a good job at least weathering the first storm, which, you know, started to take its toll when they went through that losing skid and were having trouble scoring runs, but they pulled their way out of it, managed to actually finish with a winning record here without Jackson and Jake, and are a season-high 12 games above 500 at this point.
Yeah, pretty incredible, man. Pretty incredible without to have that record without Jackson Merrill, Jake Cronenworth, Ben. It's, again, testament to the guys that are there. It's, you know, they had that one skid that did feel a little dire, and they looked a little lost at that time. But credit to Tampa Bay for rolling out some really, really good arms at that point, and they sure have righted the ship since then. So we'll keep it rolling today.
And the Padres have done so against a fairly difficult schedule in Major League Baseball. You know, if the Atlanta Braves, who are now just two games under 500, and the Rays, who are just two games under 500, if they win a few here, I mean, the Tigers, the Guardians, first and second place, Yankees first place in their division, A's are above 500, Astros are now at 500 in the National League. They played the Cubs, who are first place. They played the Giants, who are eight games above 500. Really, the only bad teams they've played are the Rockies and the Pirates. Yep. Otherwise, they have played one of the toughest schedules in Major League Baseball so far this season.
Yeah, and it sharpens you. You know, it really does. And they've shown that.
All right, we got a contestant on the line. Let's get to it. It is time for the Tuesday edition of Take on Woods. Take on Woods, brought to you by Bay Alarm Security and Fire Alarms for every business. We got you, and we got Nick this morning. Nick, how you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm good. All right, you are the contestant. Woods has left the studio. Your part of the game comes first. Five questions of musical trivia. If you can beat or tie Woods on those five questions, you will be the first entrant into our grand prize drawing for a trip to see Bruno Mars in Las Vegas, including two tickets to his show at Dolby Live at Park MGM on September 3rd, a two-night stay at Park MGM, and a $100 gift card. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. And to give you the advantage, I will let you pick the category and keep Woods in the dark. Here are your choices. We still have duets, old and new-ish. Those are an all 2 second song category of duets. Getting in Shape, five song titles and artists that include some sort of geometric shape. And All Aboard, this is a category. Well, I'll let you figure it out, but the category should put you in the right frame of mind. All right, duets, old and newish, Getting in Shape, or All Aboard. Nick?
I'll get in shape.
All right, Getting in Shape. Today's category, Nick, features five song titles and artists that all include some sort of shape in their name. You'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We will come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question's the two-second song. Polly's queuing it up now. You need to give me that song title and the artist to score the point. And remember, they all have a different shape in their name. Nick, are you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. The category, Getting in Shape. Good luck, Nick. Let's take on Woods.
Pat.
Which Rock and Roll Hall of Famer has 38 career top 10 hits, including 1969's Sweet Caroline?
Pat.
Which 1986 hit by Huey Lewis and the News became something of an anthem for people who were less than cool?
Hip City Square?
Correct. Which rapper was born O'Shea Jackson on June 15th, 1969, which was a good day? Correct. Tim Rice and Elton John wrote five songs for the Disney movie The Lion King, including which track that served as the film's opening song?
Pass.
Go back to our two-second song, Nick.
I have no idea on that.
Which Rock and Roll Hall of Famer has 38 career top 10 hits?
Neil Diamond.
Correct. Let's go to Tim Rice and Elton John wrote five songs for the Disney movie The Lion King, including which track that serves as the film's opening song? Time's running out.
Come on.
Can you see the
lights tonight? Not a bad guess, but Circle of Life. We got the shape category for you. You got Ice Cube, though, O'Shea Jackson. Hip to be Square, and you got Neil Diamond, so that's three. The two-second song, that was Bizarre Love Triangle by New Order. I don't know. This could be, I think Woods wins, but hang on the line, Nick. We'll see.
Let's see.
Don't know if he's going to be able to figure out this category. I think he'll know some of the answers, but we'll find out. As Woods takes his spot, Nick's score is locked in. 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Nick.
New Order. I'll come back to it.
Which Rock and Roll Hall of Famer has 38 career top 10 hits, including 1969's Sweet Caroline?
Neil Diamond.
Correct. Which 1986 hit by Huey Lewis and the News became something of an anthem for people who were less than cool?
Hip to be Square.
Correct. Which rapper was born O'Shea Jackson on June 15th?
Ice Cube.
Correct. Tim Rice and Elton John wrote five songs for the Disney movie The Lion King, including which track that served as the film's...
Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Incorrect. F-word. Go back to our two-second song.
That's, Is it Bizarre Love Triangle?
It is, by New Order, which New you Order, got yeah. earlier, which gives you the 4-3 victory. Ooh. You needed that one.
Oh, yeah.
In the category, Nick, I'm sorry. Getting
Shapes?
In Shape.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Bizarre Love Triangle, Neil Diamond, Hip to be Square, Ice Cube, and Circle of Life.
Ah, Circle of Life.
Which, without the category, that was a little... He also said, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? But
it's not a shape.
It's not a shape.
No, not a shape at all.
Not a shape. Well played. No qualifiers for Bruno Mars in Vegas yet, but we will try again tomorrow.
Good deal.
All right.
That's good.
Let's take a timeout. Do you want to open the phone lines?
Sure.
Padres fans after that game last night. We don't usually do that, but it felt like maybe after last night, this team's kind of special right now.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you. You're
fine
watching. I know there were some Padres fans in New York. If you were at the game and you are watching on our YouTube stream or joining us on the app, please give us a call. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Padres have won 6 in a row. They are rolling right now. And we are rolling on with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
You can also get on a roll at 7 Mile Casino. You know what? You're playing California-style blackjack. Nothing like one of those. You win, you blackjack, you double down, you win another one, and all of a sudden you got a big pile of chips in front of you. I love that feeling.
Feels real good, man.
Yeah.
Feels real good. You got Texas Hold'em as well. They got Pai Gow, Baccarat. They don't have slot machines, all right? So if you like slot machines, and I don't, so I'm actually really, really happy they don't have slot machines there. I don't have to hear them constantly ringing in my ears. Nobody's smoking Pall Malls next to me. It's a smoke-free environment. It's got everything I'm looking for at 7 Mile Casino.
They even have a restaurant inside. It's Sammy's Wood-Fired Pizza. Come to the South Bay inside 7 Mile Casino. And not only do you get the great Sammy's menu, but got the 24/7 players menu any time of day, 2 a.m., whatever.
Yeah.
Great items like the Kung Pao Chicken, which is legendary, plus the award-winning Best in South County brunch on Saturdays and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Check it out for yourself, my friends, at 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Got some Padres tickets to give away, but we'll have to do that in our 9 o'clock hour because the phone lines currently are fairly busy. If you'd like to join us, 833-288-0973. Again, we don't typically just go for the open phones, but last night was certainly a memorable night for this 2025 Padres season, coming from behind at Yankee Stadium. Mike Schilt got ejected in his first ever game managing at Yankee Stadium.
That's how you do it, right there.
I mean, that is
memorable.
Jumping in.
Never going to forget that.
Head first to your managerial career at Yankee Stadium. The only big league ballpark, I think he told us, he had not managed in yet.
1-0.
And 1-0, but didn't get to see the end of it.
Yeah.
Other than on the television from his office in the visiting clubhouse.
I love that. Actually, somebody asked him, were you back in your office in time to see Manny's double? And he goes, I was actually back here to see Arise get walked.
So good.
He went right to the office.
Right to the office.
Said his glasses were waiting for him on his desk, too.
Did he and Fernando watch it together, I wonder?
Ooh.
Sitting there watching the game together, cheering.
Was Fernando in the players kind of area and Mike was in the office? Or did they sit there together? I can picture them sitting.
Crack a beer.
100%. Yeah, no doubt.
Nice. Well, we'll have to get that answer from him next time we talk to Schulte. Let's get to some of these phone calls, though. 833-288-0973. Andy is calling us this morning, leading things off. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, bud.
So, quick question. Obviously, yesterday, one thing that we saw at the beginning of the game with the Luis Camposano running home, which we all kind of questioned the decision. But then we saw Sheets kind of waving him in. When it comes to Friday, and Cronenworth is added to this team, right? Tomorrow, obviously today, Merrill's added. So you would assume that Oscar Gonzalez is getting sent down.
Yeah.
Is the idea that Campy is then sent down Friday with now we're limited to the right-handed bats because we started the year with Yuli Gurriel, and obviously he's not here anymore, so Tyler Wade's taking that spot. I'm kind of just curious of what we think the roster is going to look like when we go to Colorado on Friday.
That's an really interesting point that you bring up, one that I had not really thought about yet. You kind of realize today you need Luis Camposano as a right-handed bat, right, to hit against lefties. You got Gavin Sheets to hit against righties. Unless you say, you know, Gavin Sheets is our DH moving forward
now. I think that the splits are too big right now to count on Gavin Sheets against lefties.
Is the sample size big enough, you know, at this point? I have no idea. It's a great question. It really is. I do think Oscar's probably packing his bags as we speak. Jackson will be, I think you keep Hayward. I do. I think you keep Hayward. I think he's too valuable defensively. I do. And, you know, leadership, whatever.
I think Lockridge is certainly potentially,
he's been
at the end of the week at least, expendable.
Over Campy.
I do
you
think,
take Campy over Lockridge?
Yeah, that's where I think Campy might be.
I don't know that I do.
I think once you have...
I don't know that you need Sheets and Campusano. DH only's off your bench. I think you need a little bit more versatility.
I don't think you absolutely need Campusano. If he deserves to stay, then absolutely he can stay. He's, you know, he's drawn some walks, but... You can always against lefties. You can put Jose Iglesias into the lineup, and
you can give
Manny a DH day, give Xander a DH day. You can figure it out.
I think you keep Lockridge.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, and you can put him in Speedy at the end of the lineup. Yep. And you've got Tyler Wade now to back you up in multiple positions.
Yep.
So I don't think you absolutely have to keep Luis Camposano on the roster. I'm open to it though. I would love to see Campy jump in as their kind of right-handed solid guy for DHing when they needed him. You know, he'll have to show that he can do it beyond the AAA level. He was mashing at AAA, hasn't really locked in yet other than taking some walks here at the big league level.
No question. No, great question, though, by the way. Great question, Andy.
All right, let's go to Ryan. Ryan, you're next up with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Good, Ryan.
Good, man.
So... I got to apologize to Xander. I don't know about you guys, but I've been calling him a bum for about 18 months. He's really turned it around the past couple games. I'd like to see a little bit more of that action.
Oh, yeah.
Get a little return on our investment there. But last night, you just knew that Trent Grisham was going to hit that bomb, didn't you?
100%.
And you're like, man, he's just adding to the list of former Padres that constantly rake off of us. But what a great victory. I was watching it with my girls at the house. And they're going, let's go Padres on every pitch. And was glad to hear the guttural yell this morning, I got to say.
Yeah, buddy. I was glad to give it. Always glad to give it. No, I'm with you, man. The Xander, again, he's been a confounding guy, and he's feeling good right now. So you ride those waves of momentum. He will struggle again. It's the nature of baseball, certainly. I think... You know, it is important to remember he does have it in him, you know, to be a very productive player. And it's not as simple as, you know, putting your mind to it or anything like that. Getting good pitches to hit and doing damage when you get them. And he's done that. And he's been opportunistic lately.
I'm holding my Xander Bogaerts tickets at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm not cashing them. I'm not going to go on some, like, victory lap. Like, I told you Xander was going to turn it around. He's had a few good games. I am encouraged. Not just by what I've seen on the field, but, you know, what Xander has said. You know, he's got in his mind, you know, going back and doing something he was maybe doing earlier in his career. Every day you kind of hear him talk about, I feel a little more locked in, I feel better about this swing, and now I'm seeing some results with it. You know, hopefully it means that Xander is going to maybe go on a prolonged stretch of being somewhat hot. You know, again, we still haven't seen much power. He has the one home run. It was... like a 350-foot line drive. You know, you're not going to put up 30 home run power with those kind of shots.
Nobody's expecting him to put up 30.
He did it in Boston.
Once. One time.
I'm not expecting it here.
Brady Anderson at 50 one year. So, I mean, look, sun shines on a dog's ass someday. So, you know what I mean?
But again, I'm going to reserve any.
We're talking 15 home runs is kind of what we're shooting for here.
I'm going to reserve any hot Xander Bogaerts takes for good or bad at this point and just, you know, hope that Xander continues to make his steady improvements with the swing and feels more comfortable at the plate.
Yeah, absolutely. Just keep doing what you're doing. And again, you know, we've talked a million times. If you're not helping the team with the bat, help the team with the glove. There was that little period where he was doing harm both ways.
Yeah.
He wasn't helping with the bat and actually costing you games with his glove and his arm.
When it gets magnified so much when you're losing.
Of course. Like, and it's magnified when you're losing. And it's magnified if your defense slips and you're not hitting, you're a pariah. That's how you become a pariah when you're costing your team's games. And man, he is helping the team defensively and offensively right now, and that's exactly what you dream of. For a guy that makes a lot of money, takes up a good chunk of your payroll.
All right, 833-288-0973. We got more callers on the line. We'll get to you right after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, what a game last night. Let's keep going with these phone calls. Padres fans, your takes have been good so far. We got Tim calling from Oceanside. Good morning, Tim.
Timmy.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys been?
Doing well, man. How about you?
Doing well. So let me just give you how I felt when Schilt got tossed. As I coach more than three decades, and I said to myself, the Padres just won.
Yeah.
The Padres have a perfect aura right now of where everybody believes in each other, everybody supports each other, and everybody's pulling the rope the same way. I knew it was over. I guarantee you Tatis and Schilt watch that game together.
Yeah.
I've had similar situations, you know, I was coaching at Oceanside High, and I'm up yelling at the official in a Palm Springs tournament one year, and Pulu Pamele and Sale Asay are sitting behind me, and I hear Pulu tell Sale, check out Coach Tim. He wants to play as bad as we do. When your players believe in you the way you believe in them, and you give them the rope to make it work, that encourage them that they're only going to be as good as they choose to be, and that right now the Padres have the perfect aura from top to bottom.
I think, Tim, the Padres do have a great aura, as you call it, and I love your sentiment. I really do. And I know that they really wanted to win that one, especially after Schilt got them fired up. The one thing in baseball you can't control, Manny got a pitch that he could handle, and he lined it down to the left field. What happens if that pitcher comes and gives him something nasty, you know, breaking 6 inches on the corner? Manny's going to want it either way. With the bases loaded, he's up there doing his thing. It's the one part of baseball that no matter how much you want it, you can't force it to happen. As the batter, you got to play your game at the plate. You got to find your pitch. You got to make your swing. No matter how much you want it to happen, sometimes the more you want it to happen, the harder baseball gets. So that's the only reason why I could never tell you, oh yeah, Schilt won that game for the Padres right there. Manny and Xander had to win that game by putting the right swings on the right pitches against Luke Weaver in that situation. I don't want to take anything away from those guys and what they executed in that situation.
Yeah, because, you know, look, if it worked every time, you'd see a lot more managers getting run in close games. You really would. And I do believe in it. You talk about picking your spots. Certainly, Schilt picked a good one last night, and the guys responded. And, you know, like Manny said after the game, he was interviewed by John Morosi, and, you know, John said, now you're batting 352. With the bases loaded in your 14-year career, you know, what is it about hitting with, and he said, look, I like hitting with runners on base, and the thing I like the most, they have to come to you. They have to. They have to come to you. If you can spit on those secondary pitches, he got a fastball he could handle, and he absolutely hammered it. He had a 0.0 ERA, first runs he's given up all season. I mean, it felt like it was in the cards after that ejection.
I think one of the toughest things probably about being a star player in baseball, whether you're an Aaron Judge or a Manny Machado, not knowing if you're going to see a pitch to hit. You may go up there and you may have nobody on base. Doesn't mean they're going to throw one to you. Pitchers are going to be careful with the stars. So you have to balance that knowing, hey, I need to hit. I need to get my knocks. I need to, you know, get to my 30 homers, whatever it is. But you can't force it, because a pitcher that doesn't want to be beaten by you is only going to give you his pitches, and he will accept a walk sometimes. It's not the worst result to walk Aaron Judge, not the worst result to walk Manny Machado sometimes. Bro. Now, not with the bases loaded, but you do have to go up there. Now, if you're Brandon Lockridge, you're going to see strikes, because they don't think that you're going to be able to hurt them with one swing. So you go up there looking for strikes. Manny has to be more selective and more understanding of the situation and what he's facing.
It's what makes guys like Barry Bonds, you can think whatever you want of Barry Bonds, it's what makes guys like Barry Bonds so special. Tony Gwynn, you know, guys that, it got to the point in Tony's career where pitchers just said, screw it, I'm throwing him a fastball. I'll take my chances that he's going to hit one out of the yard, but we know he's probably going to hit a single. I'll take that single from Tony Gwynn. I'll let the next guy beat me. Here's a fastball. Hit it. And Tony was like gifted hits. I mean, he still got to hit the ball and put it in the right spot, but at that point in Tony's career, the best pitchers in the game said, here's a fastball. Hit it. Take your base. I don't care. Like, I don't want more damage to happen. And it's what makes guys like Juan Soto. I mean, I watched the game with him in the ninth inning last week. He did not get one pitch to hit, not one, because they don't want to let Juan Soto beat him. And so it is harder for those guys. It's much easier to be a Tyler Wade. It's much easier to be a Brandon Lockridge. Also, people look at it and they don't go, bro, you're making $25 million a year. You got to come through every single time. I'm making the league minimum here, buddy. Like, I'm doing my best. The pressure is really off for those guys. The pressure is on squarely on the backs of the Barry Bonds, the Juan Soto,
Tyler
the Manny Machado.
Tyler can really only do good.
That's it.
You can't do anything really that bad.
Right.
Because we're just going to, well, he's Tyler
Wade.
Whatever.
Like,
he struck out a couple of times. I'm sure he's, don't even remember. I'm sure he struck out a couple. Yes, he did strike out a couple of times last night. Guess how many times we talk about those. But when Fernando strikes out in a big spot, Manny, when Xander does it, we, of course, are going to go, man, paying them all that money, and they strike out. But they strike out just like everybody does, unless you're Luis Arraez, who...
And you just never strike out.
I don't know that I've ever had a feeling when my player has come to the plate, and there's two strikes, that I haven't been worried about him. Like, I know he's not going to strike out.
Yeah, he may not barrel this. Yeah, he probably won't, but...
You're not going to strike him out, even with two strikes. Has he still only struck out two times all season versus three home runs?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've got time for a couple more calls. Let's go to Rod. You are next up with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Hi, Rod.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Yo, yo, yo. Shout out to the chat fam, all the tier ones on the YouTube.
Yeah, buddy.
I love you guys. All of you.
Love you, man.
Let's not overlook Woods, Pauly, and Ben. Our pitching, our bullpen, when Ryan Berger got on base, when he came up to the mound, he got into a little jam. The pitching whisperer, Ruben Niebla, came in. Whispered in his sweet ear, and I think he told him, hey, pitch, keep the ball low, let's get out of this inning. And next thing you know, Trent Grisham flies out to Brandon Lockridge out there in the outfield, and man, just props again to the pitching whisperer, our coaching staff as an entire group. Just love this team, and like I said in the chat earlier, I rewatched the eighth inning, and man, it was better than a cup of coffee.
Honestly, no doubt, man.
Love you, guys.
Love you, buddy. Appreciate you, Rod. The pitching whisperer indeed, and that bullpen is playing and pitching with a lot of confidence right now, as they should.
Ruben's a weapon. He's an advantage the Padres have. Not saying there aren't other good pitching coaches in baseball, but he's definitely one of, if not the best right now in the league. Saw someone in the chat. We'll take Devin Williams. I think Ruben Niebla, probably give him a few minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Straighten him right out in that Padres bullpen. If the Yankees have had their fill of a struggling Devin Williams, you know he's got it still in him. He's just off a little bit right now, and the Padres took advantage last night. But Ruben always does seem to find the right thing to say, goes out there at the right moments. And, my son was asking me, it was Jeremiah Estrada. So he'd faced the three batters, and then all of a sudden Cody Bellinger was coming up, and Ruben came out to the mound. And he goes, well, why are they doing that? Why don't they switch? They could go maybe to a lefty or something. I think they generally set their relievers up and give them the scouting report on the three first guys they're going to face.
Yeah.
And they don't overload them with the rest of the lineup. So once you get to the fourth hitter or a pinch hitter comes up, you will see Ruben come out. Not because the pitcher is necessarily doing anything wrong, but he's got a new scouting report that he just wants to now reinforce or deliver at the right moment, because it's a big situation. It's a runner on. There's a couple outs. Get this out, end the inning. Here's how you get Cody Bellinger out. And, Jeremiah in that situation executed in the game last night.
He was fantastic, man. They all were. Everybody was fantastic last night. Kept the because I thought as soon as we took the lead, I go, hey, man, Let's settle down. We still got six outs we got to get here against these guys, and they got some of their heavy hitters coming up.
Oh, you don't think the Yankees really wanted to come back and find a way to rally and win that game after everything that happened?
As cool as it was to lose that game, then would have been devastating. It would have been absolutely devastating. I would have been furious. The beautiful comeback notwithstanding, Benny, to be able to win that game, get those last six outs was epic. Epic win last night.
Let's go. We got one more top of the board. Our friend Magic. Hello, Magic. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you been doing?
Good, man.
Hey, guys. I was watching the game last night, too, and I got to ask you guys. It's not often do you see a team coming off of a road trip, going into a very hostile place to play, and raining all day. And from the second inning on, you knew that umpire didn't want to be there.
100%.
Hell, nobody wanted to be there. But, those guys get paid for it. And I get angry when I see umps who don't want to be there. And it's like, dude, you get paid for it. Just play like everybody else is. and the San Diego Padres found a way to get that win. And I'm going to tell you, that game will be monumental later on in the season because that's something they can fall back on. I'm not sure I could say that 2 years ago for the Padres team.
You couldn't.
So I like their fortitude. I like the gutness of this team. And I think that game you guys will watch later on in the year, they're going to go back and fall back on this game and say that was a key point of the year.
I agree. They've done that so many times over the last couple of years. The comeback wins, man, were a signature of this team last year. And again, it's the Shilty way. They're not giving up. And we need to get it out of our vernacular that they quit. They don't look like they want to be there tonight. I've never seen it from this team. I never have seen this team. I've seen them look kind of lost offensively. That's not uncommon in baseball. It's just not.
Let me ask you, should that game have been played? I mean,
I don't know.
They started it, and I mean, it looked like it was nasty. Dumping on Nick Pivetta.
It was. He was soaked, dude.
It's not a safe situation to have a pitcher who has no way to dry his hands throwing a wet baseball.
Did you see his hat? His hat looked like he weighed 15 pounds, man. The mud, all his jersey is soaked.
Everyone's paid tickets, and they want to get it in, but
that last inning when Suarez is out there, he's throwing 100 miles an hour on a ball he can't grip.
It was raining
as hard as it had rained all night. I know they're just trying to get those last three outs,
yep.
But it's a one-run game, and I'm like, you can't call another delay right now in the bottom of the ninth, but this is not safe.
Yeah, dude, and like Dub says, it's the hands are bad enough, but it's the plant foot. The plant foot, where you come down and all your momentum is on your left leg and you're just,
Plus, with the pitch timer now, you know, maybe in a wet game and you've got a chance to scrape your spikes every pitch and everything, you can get enough dry baseballs, but now you get the pitch timer as well. And you're being forced to throw a wet baseball before you're even ready.
Yep.
I don't know that it was all that safe to play that game.
No, again, I crossed my fingers. I'm glad everybody got out of there unscathed.
So I am sitting here staring through the window.
It's crazy.
An absolute legend of our business.
Waiting for us.
I know. And he is going to join us when we come back. Jim Lampley is in town. He's got a new book out. He's going to be signing it at Warwick's in La Jolla tomorrow. It's called It Happened. He has done, obviously, you know him for HBO Boxing, but he has done TV sports casting, ABC, Olympics, sports talk radio, just about everything.
Just an icon.
And he's going to share some of those stories with us coming up at the top of the hour next with more Bennett Woods on the way on a Tuesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.